Welcome to the Celebration Church podcast. You're about to hear a message called Clarifying Vision, part four from the series Wind in My Sails. We hope it encourages you and speaks to you in a new way. Enjoy today's message.
You ever gotten to a place in your life where you were like, I'm so hungry that I could eat anything? Come on. Be real with me this morning. You ever gotten to a place in life where you're like, I'm so hungry I could eat anything? Okay, if maybe you say, I'm so hungry, I'd eat a Filet-O-Fish. Now do you understand what I'm talking about? I'm so hungry. Somebody's sitting out there going, I actually enjoy the Filet-O-Fish. Thank you very much. But there's these two brothers in the Bible in Genesis, and one of them gets super hungry, so hungry that he does something wild. This is in Genesis 25, and it says, once when Jacob was cooking stew, I don't know about you, but I hate stew. Can I, any other stew haters in the room? You are my people. You can't deep fry stew. Right? Once when Jacob was cooking stew, Esau came in from the field, and he was exhausted, and Esau said to Jacob, let me eat some of that red stew, for I'm exhausted. In other words, Esau had the wind out of his sails. He was exhausted. And Jacob said, sell me your birthright now. Man, Jacob's smart. And Esau said, see, your birthright is, as a firstborn, it would be your inheritance. Everything you have coming to you, not just possessions, but a place in line and your authority in that family line. And so he says, sell me your birthright. And Esau says, I'm about to die. I'm so hungry I could die. Your kids ever say that to you? I'm so hungry I could die. And Esau says, of what use is my birthright to me? And Jacob said, swear to me now. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew. And he ate and drank and rose and went on his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. So he gave up the future that God had for him because he was so desperate in the moment. Wow. Yeah. The title of this message this morning is Clarifying Your Vision. But the street name, the gangster name, the remix name is I Ain't No Esau. Turn to your neighbor, say, I ain't no Esau.
I ain't no Esau.
Now turn to your other neighbor, say, I'm sorry for ignoring you. Now that we know our neighbors, let's take this in together. See, Esau was so exhausted. He had the wind taken out of his sails. He could no longer see the future because he was so desperate in the present. Have you ever felt like this? So desperate in the present that you don't see the future that God has for you. Like in relationships, you get in a relationship, it gets so bad that you're like, I never want to have anything to do with this person again. I want no future with them. Or in your finances, you get so desperate that you're like, I don't know if this could ever turn around. Or maybe it's a health situation you're going through where you see no future for yourself. And you say, I would do anything to turn this around. Esau could no longer see the vision for his future. All he saw was the pain of the present. All he could see was his immediate desire. And see, there is constantly stew in front of us in the world. Not just because your mom just cooks that way, right? There's constant stew in front of us. The world is full of all kinds of stew, things that distract us from the vision that God has for our life. There's things that you think that, man, if I could just have that, if I could just acquire that, everything would be different. If I could just get to this level, everything would be different for my life. But down the road, those things end up costing us so much more. This is why credit cards are such a huge thing. People have realized that people want instant gratification and that it's extremely profitable to allow them to have that. That's why credit cards are such a big thing. They allow us to get what we want. You need that patio set all of a sudden. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, I have to have it now. Summer is only so long, right? The instant gratification, but then we pay for it in the long run with the interest. Car dealerships realize this. And that is why they have all these shiny new cars in their showroom. Because what happens is your car breaks down, you take it to the service side of things, and the service people, okay, they say, okay, it's going to be $800 to fix this car. And you, what happens? You go, oh, the wind gets knocked out of our sails. And then what happens is when you feel the wind knocked out of your sails, it's so much easier to go for that instant gratification. Why put that $800 into that old thing when there's something shiny and new in the showroom that's zero down? And I won't have to pay for 3 months. And it's so much easier to sign up for the $300 payment for the next 6 years, but we don't want to pay the $800 now. Wow. Right. Yep. They realize it. And they sneak up on us. Well, what happens when the wind gets knocked out of the sails of a boat? What happens? The boat settles. I'm terrible at sailing. And so I have been sailing and the wind has gotten knocked out because I don't have very good technique. And my boat settles where it is. Well, life leaves us exhausted and then we settle. Exhaustion steals our vision. What did Esau say? I'm about to die. What good is a birthright to me? Esau loses vision of what the birthright could mean in his life. Yep. Like, really, Esau, you couldn't have gone out in the field and just ate some grass? You had to have that beautiful smelling lentil stew? When there's no vision, there's nowhere to go, so we settle. Yep. See, if you don't have a vision for how you want your marriage to be, then you'll just settle for however it ends up being. That's what happens. We don't have a vision for what we want our relationship with our spouse to be like. So we just settle for, oh, I guess we just aren't very intimate. I guess we'll just never feel that closeness that all these other people seem to feel. I guess we're just going to fight like this. I guess this is just how it's going to be. Because you don't have a vision for what you want your marriage to look like. Now, single people, you need to get a vision now for what you want your marriage to look like in the future. See, because once you've met someone, it's too late. Yeah. So you need to get that vision now for what you want that marriage to look like in the future so that you find the right person to fit the vision that God has for your life. Yeah. See, when you have a vision, you'll find the right person. Right. Yeah. It's not all about falling in love. Get that this morning. Yeah. Because the movies will tell you it's all about the feelings. It's all about, oh, just falling in love with each other. And he's going to take me out into a field, put this blanket out. We're going to have this beautiful picnic together. But I want to tell you something this morning. There is mosquitoes in the middle of the field. Let's go, Alberta. See, I think that people get an idea of what they think love is supposed to look like. But you need a vision for what your marriage is supposed to look like, what a godly marriage is supposed to look like, what God wants to do in your life, and have a vision for that and get somebody that matches that.
Yeah, that's good.
Because 4 hours of Call of Duty is cute now, but it ain't going to be cute when you're married. So get a vision for what you want your marriage to look like, or else you'll settle. You'll say, at least I have someone to marry. Marriage isn't, it's not about finding someone. It's about finding the right one.
Yeah, that's good.
And if there's no vision for your finances, you'll do the same thing. You'll settle. You know, you'll start to budget and say, you know, we get a vision for our finances, what we want to do. I know I've done this. You start to budget, things are going well, and then the furnace breaks down at $600. And you go, screw you, Dave Ramsey. I ain't budgeting no more. What happens? The wind gets knocked out of our sails and we have no future. If you don't know who Dave Ramsey is, he teaches some finance stuff and you can get in a connect group and they'll do it with you. But that's what happens is we get the wind knocked out of our sails and we say, I'm tired of being disciplined. And we lose vision for what we want and we just say, well, I've always been in debt. I guess I'll never own that house. We settle because the wind is knocked out of our sails.
Yeah.
See, settling brings security. Wow. It brings security because you're like, at least I know what's going to happen.
Right.
He might not be the perfect man, but at least I found a man, right? There's some security there. Too many people have settled when it comes to spirituality in their lives. Have I settled when it comes to spirituality? Too many people have done this. See, when people first find the love of Jesus, when people first discover Jesus, they get so excited. They're wild. Do you know someone like this? I met people like this over the years that it's awesome, man. They find the love of Jesus and they're like, how come everybody doesn't know about this? They're so excited. It's like finding out that there's an O. Henry that has Reese peanut butter in it. That's how I felt when I first found that. I got to tell everybody about this. But people get this way. They find out about Jesus and they're so excited. And it's awesome. You need to get around someone like that. Because they have a vision. They want to tell everybody. But what happens over time is they get familiar. You know, some things happen in their life and they settle. And we do that. I want to tell you that we should never get a place, never, ever, ever get to a place in our life where we're done growing spiritually. You can have enough money. You can have a nice enough house that you're happy with for the rest of your life. You can have enough kids, all right? You can just say, okay, that's enough kids, all right? But as for our spirituality, we should never stop growing.
Yeah, that's good.
Healthy spiritual growth is this. Healthy spiritual growth is the balance of being content and being dissatisfied all at the same time.
Wow.
Did you hear that? Healthy spiritual growth is the balance of being content and being dissatisfied at the same time.
Yeah.
So we're content. God, I thank you for revealing yourself to me. I thank you for the times we have together in worship and devotion. But also, I want so much more of you.
Yeah.
The best is yet to come for my walk with God. There's so much more that God has to reveal to me in my life, and I can't wait for it. There should be a level of dissatisfaction in your life. How dissatisfied are you? And what is the stew to your spirituality? What's the stew to your spirituality? See, if what I did yesterday still looks big to me today, then I'm not growing. You ever meet someone like that? Oh, man, they talk about the good old days all the time. Oh, back in my day, the good old days. Man, that's not how we ought to live our life.
Right.
We ought to live a life that says, God's got more to do through me. The best is yet to come. I'm drawing closer to Jesus every single day. But too often people are like, I used to be able to throw a football over the mountains over there. You know, I'm talking about Napoleon Dynamite. Where are my people at? Go home and watch that movie. I don't think we should have a life that says, oh, the good old days are behind me. Well, what happens is we get so consumed by the daily, the urgent, and the temporary that we forget to make time for the transcendent, the significant, and the eternal. Because there's urgent daily things that we have to deal with at all times, and we forget to have a vision about what God wants to do in our eternity. See, growth demands a surrender of security. Growth demands that you surrender your security. So this is why we've decided to launch another location, which we're very excited about. This is what security is. Security would be, hey, we found our home. There's still empty seats here. Let's just focus on what we're doing here and let's not make any big risks. After all, look at how hard we've worked to get here. We could settle. Well, what are we saying? Let's surrender the security we have. Let's try something new. Let's put a goal out in front for people to step up and be leaders and outreach and reach another part of our city. Let's surrender the security. Sir Francis Drake said this. Not that Drake, okay? Not the different Drake from the 1500s. He said this. But he still knew God's plan. Okay. All right. Sir Francis Drake said this. Disturb us, Lord, when we are too well pleased with ourselves. When our dreams have come true because we've dreamed too little. when we arrive safely because we sailed too close to shore? What if that was our prayer? Disturb us, Lord. God, whatever you do, don't let me settle.
Yeah.
You need to get the wind back in your sails.
Yep.
Too many of us have settled. We need to be disturbed.
Yeah.
That sounds weird.
Yeah.
That's weird to preach. You need to be disturbed this morning. Like, what? I came here because I am disturbed and I want to change that. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need to be disturbed. Weird, hey? So weird. Now turn to your neighbor and say, I'm sorry for ignoring you again. Again. You ignored the same person twice. Come on. But we need to be disturbed. What's the definition of disturbed? Having its normal pattern or function disrupted or changed. How many of us get in normal patterns in life and we're like, this is nice. I like this. I found my routine. Nobody's messing with my day timer. You know? And day timers are important, but we need to get vision for what God wants to do in us. Disturb us. God, I have a plan for today, but I pray that your plan would happen in my life today. Man, these eight people really did a good job clapping. So how do we get a vision? How do we gain vision for what God wants to do in our lives? Simple. Shift from what am I doing to who am I becoming?
Yeah, that's good.
Very good.
So often it's that daily routine thing that's in front of us. I got to get this done. What if we lifted our head and said, God, who am I becoming?
Yeah, that's good.
What do you want to do through me today? And what is the birthright that's waiting for me? See, there's a birthright that God supplied for you, but you can actually do something to build on your birthright. You can actually do something to make a difference for that will impact your eternity, not just everyone's eternity. Let's get a little selfish this morning. Let's talk about your eternity. Okay? Jesus said this in Matthew. He said this, "Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So Jesus is saying, let's think about what's going on in heaven. He's telling us our hearts need to be in heaven. How often do I focus on my heavenly savings account?
Oh, wow.
I mean, I check my one here a lot. And I take out of it too much. But how often do I think about my eternal one?
Wow, that's good.
The one here, it don't mean that much in eternity.
Right.
See, Jesus is, he's telling us, get your heart in heaven. Am I a person who's storing up treasure in heaven? Is that how I live my life? And I got to ask myself this more. What have I done today to store up treasure in heaven?
Yeah, that's good.
See, what we do for ourselves, it often dies with us. But what we do for others lives beyond us.
Yeah, that's good.
It's so important to take care of yourself, okay? I get that. It's so important to do that. It's so important to read God's word about you and take care of yourself. But what you do for other people will go beyond you.
Yeah.
We need the wind in our sails when it comes to eternity. See, God has given me certain talents and abilities for a reason. He's made you the way you are for a reason. God made you who you are so that you could draw people closer to him.
Yeah.
And a vision for your future requires sacrifice in the present.
Yeah. Yeah,
so what's the stew that's in front of you? What's the stew that's stopping you from that sacrifice so that you can make a difference in eternity? See, everything that's always around us and always in our face, it's temporary. But the only thing that isn't temporary is eternity.
Right.
So what am I talking about when I'm talking about adding to your savings account in heaven? And did Jesus actually say that we can do this? I mean, he says store up your treasure in heaven, but can we actually do this? Yes, because there's the book of life that our name gets written in, right? And it says in the Bible that believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, okay? So now you'll have eternal life, but you can actually make your eternal life better. Watch what Jesus says in Matthew. He says, for the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each of you according to what they've done. What does that tell me? I can do things on this earth to make my eternity better for me. Let's get selfish about this. I can reach people for Jesus. I can change someone's life. I can show people the love of Jesus. My life can point people towards Jesus, and it's going to make my eternity better. He confirms it again in Revelation. He says, look, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each of you according to what they've done. Wow. See, what we do today makes an impact on forever. What we do every day makes an impact on forever. So what's the vision for your eternity? So often we're trading the eternal for the immediate. But I ain't no Esau. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be no Esau. So what do we do to put the wind back in our sails when it comes to eternity? What do we do to get the wind in our sails? Well, you need to disturb your spirituality. Disturb your spirituality. So often our spirituality is a part of our life, but it's left to fend for itself. Well, I'll get to it, or when it comes up, or when crisis happens, and there's not much vision set for it, but do I have a vision for hearing from the Holy Spirit every day? See, there's promises in the Bible that he'll speak to us, that he'll remind us of what Jesus said. But do I have a vision to hear from him every day? Am I doing things to hear from the Holy Spirit? Do I have a vision for what my Bible reading looks like, or is it whenever I can fit it in? Wow. Or do we get a vision for it and say, it's going to happen here and now. This is the time. This is the place. I'm going to make it happen every single day. Yeah. Or how many books we're going to read. Is there a vision for that, or is it just whenever it's going to fit in? Because this is the most important thing, that we would grow spiritually, that God would do something inside of us so that we can make an impact on eternity. Right. So we need to be disturbed spiritually. Vision says, I'm going to make a prayer closet. I'm going to make a place where I am going to be able to hide from the world around me and just focus on my relationship with God and me. It doesn't have to be your pantry, all right? I'm just saying, a place in your life where you find time to work with just you and God. Yeah. Right. I'll worship with everything I am. Not just in church, but finding times where we can be intimate with God. Yeah. I'll have an intimacy with God that draws me closer to him more and more every single day. See, there's such a lack of need for God in our lives. There is. We have an awesome world. Canada is an incredible place to live. We live in such an amazing place that, to be honest, we don't need God. We have to create that need ourselves. That says, God, I want a life that relies on you, that is focused on you. I think our spirituality has sailed a little bit too close to shore. But what do we need to do? Read God's promises for us. Stir us up, disrupt us. Yeah. Yes. What God says about you will put the wind in your sails. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when I don't know what his word for me is, what he says about me, it's so easy to get the wind out of my sails. Yeah. But we need a vision for what he's going to do in us, our spirituality. We need a vision for what God's going to do in us. But we also need a vision of what God's going to do through us. Yeah. Yeah. We need a vision of what we're going to do for God. See, when you're closer to him, he will reveal his vision for your life to you. Right. So we need God to disrupt our spirituality, but we need God to disrupt our ministry as well. That's good. You need God to disrupt your ministry. Yep. You need God to disturb your ministry. See, your ministry is what you are doing to point people towards Jesus. Right. It's simply that. Your ministry is what you are doing to point people towards Jesus. Just because you call it ministry, it doesn't mean it's pointing people towards Jesus, though. Wow. Just because you call it your ministry, it doesn't mean it's pointing people towards Jesus. Yeah. For instance, I can go to Next Steps, not next week because the car show, but the week after. I can go to Next Steps and I can say, I am going to join the greeting team, but have ulterior motives. My I'm going to join the greeting team because I am going to meet my future spouse. And so I will stand at the doors and say, hello, welcome. I see you have no ring. I will take you directly to your seat. Notice how good I smell. I also give up my phone number if you need it. But our ministry should point people to Jesus.
Yes.
If it doesn't, that makes it me-nistry.
Yeah.
It's all about me. There's ministries that we can be involved with, but in actuality, we're making them me-nistries. It's all about us. What is a me-nistry? Well, we found the Webster's Dictionary. It's something that I do that looks like I'm serving Jesus, but really I'm just serving me. So ministry, let's talk about it. What are you doing at church? There should be a vision for your life of what God wants to do through you at church.
Yes.
Yeah. This is God's bride that he loves so much. It's the structure he left for us to change the world. So there should be a vision in your life for the church. For your ministry in the church. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit to make a difference. But it's not just about the church. It should be about the church. You should have a vision there, but it's not just about the church. See, we spend way more hours outside of this than we do in it. So there should be a vision for your ministry outside of the church as well. What's your ministry outside of these four walls? Could be at work. Could be with your family. Your whole extended family, man, Thanksgiving comes around, it's ministry time, baby.
Let's go.
Summer barbecue comes around, family, it's ministry time,
Let's
baby.
Go.
I'm gonna rock up there and I'm gonna show the ministry that I'm gonna do.
Yeah.
2 Corinthians 5:20, I love this verse. It says this, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors.
Yeah.
Ambassador, that's a strong word. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled with God. There's different ministries that we can do. Your family, stay-at-home moms, your family,
come on.
Moms that are working, your family,
yeah.
Dads, your family,
yep.
Your kids, man, that's your ministry.
Yes.
Raising kids to love Jesus,
come on.
Man, the impact will be so rewarding. When I was thinking about this, I thought about Billy Graham's mom.
Yeah.
I don't know her. But I thought, man, didn't she do a good job
yeah.
of her ministry?
Yeah.
Because of her ministry, millions of people came to Jesus. Because of her ministry, millions of people are in heaven. And because of her ministry, people are still being impacted by the ministry of her son today.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know who Billy Graham is, but he made an impact for Jesus on so many people's lives. And in his book, Just As I Am, he talks about his mom and the impact that she made on his life. And he says there's seven things he learned from his mother, that there's dignity and hard work. He said a mother's prayers are powerful. He says this in his book, what a comfort it was to me to know that no matter where I was in the world, my mother was praying for me. And how special is that? He said his mom taught him to spend time in God's word every day. Come on, this woman's ministry was powerful. He said start reading at a young age. That's another thing he learned from his mom. Marriage is worth fighting for. That's something else he learned from his mom. How special is that? Even the best parents make mistakes. Come on, let's teach our kids that we're not perfect. And his mom taught him to finish well. Billy Graham, Pastor Graham, he reached millions for Jesus. And he did that thanks to his mom's ministry and how she raised him. So what's the vision for your ministry? See, when I get a vision for my ministry, I get a vision for eternity.
Yes.
And sometimes people think, oh, these have to mix. Like spirituality and ministry, they have to mix. So sometimes people will say, oh, that church over there, it's not spiritual enough for me. I'm spiritual Sally. And everything must be spiritual. Even the plastic forks I use are spiritual. But ministry, it looks different on all different levels. It doesn't have to be spiritual to be ministry. Yeah, our church will do anything short of sin to reach the lost. If it means me dancing around in overalls to Old Town Road, if that's going to bring people to Jesus, let's try it next week. I don't know. No. But Jesus hung out with sinners and tax collectors. I'm sure that didn't look very spiritual. How about when he was turning up at the wedding, turning water into wine? I mean, it was spiritual, but just because it doesn't look like ministry to someone, it doesn't mean it's not ministry. Cleaning the toilets at 10 a.m. on Saturday morning on your day off after you work so hard all week here at church doesn't seem very spiritual. But I don't want to attend this church if nobody has that ministry in their life. Who wants to do that? That is, if we don't clean those toilets, that's going to direct people away from Jesus. So don't let people judge you on what they think your ministry should look like just because they over-spiritualize it. Ministry and intimacy, spirituality, they can come together. It's beautiful when they do, but they don't have to tie together. Yeah. You can do things that don't feel that spiritual that are still a huge ministry to people. Yeah. Yes. Jesus said this in John. He said, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father." It's your turn now. "And I'll do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." What's the stew in your life? What's that stew that's gotten in there that has maybe made you feel happy in this moment, but it's time to say, "I ain't no Esau. I'm gonna focus on eternity, on that savings account." There are people living their lives in an Esau way and making decisions because they don't see a future for themselves or because the wind has been taken out of their sails. But the road to success, it's uphill all the way. The road to our spiritual success is uphill all the way. It's like your grandma's school, uphill both ways. It's not going to be easy. There's going to be things that take the wind out of our sails, and that's where we need to encourage ourselves, stir up, disturb our spirit. But when Esau, he traded his birthright, he was giving up God's vision for immediate gratification. And the scriptures, when they talk about our spiritual fathers, okay, they talk about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It was supposed to say Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. But what did he do? He gave up his birthright, and now Jacob has become our spiritual father because of this. Don't allow this to happen in your life. Don't take the stew. "I ain't no Esau." Your future, it starts right now. Maybe when I talk about vision for your spirituality, you're like, I don't even know where to begin. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, this Jesus that you've talked about, this Jesus that you say gave his life up for me, I don't have any relationship at all and I don't know how to start it. What's the on-ramp? I want to tell you today that it's very, very simple. Grace is so simple. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. If you believe that today, you don't have to go home and shower first or whatever you think you're supposed to do. Get a big old Bible on Amazon and bring it next week. No, you don't have to do any of that. Here's what you need to do. Just believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth. It's that simple. Everything. Your eternity changes right here and now. You were headed in one direction. All you got to do, accept it. Pray that prayer. Boom, your eternity's changed right here, right now, in this moment. And that's why every single Sunday is so important. That's why we encourage getting on a team. That's why we encourage being every single Sunday, someone's day, to change the direction of their eternity. And if you'd like to change your direction this morning, if you'd like to get the wind in your sails for your spirituality, I want to pray very simple prayer with you this morning that would change everything right here and now in this moment. Here's what I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask everybody, you can do this right now, just bow your head and close your eyes. It's okay if you're not praying this prayer with me. Some people are, so we want to respect them. And if you want to pray this prayer with me, I'm going to count to three in a moment. I'm just going to ask you to stick up your hand. I think this is important because it's an action symbol saying yes to Jesus. I'm going to ask you to stick up your hand, and then I'm going to ask you to repeat after me, and I'm going to ask the whole room to repeat after me so that you're not singled out. You're saying this with a room full of people who've also said this prayer and believe this for their lives. And they're believing for you as we say this prayer together. So hey, if you want Jesus to be Lord and Savior of your life, right here, right now, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. One, two, three. Come on, raise your hand right now so I see who I'm praying with. Awesome. There's hands all over this room making the best decision you'll ever make in your life. I'm just going to wait another second. Hey, God sees your hand this morning, but he also sees your heart. He loves you so much, even when you don't love yourself. Jesus still died for you. He still said you were worth it. Even if nobody else accepted him, you were worth it. You and you alone were worth it. You can go ahead and put your hands down. I'm going to ask everybody in the room to repeat after me. Let's say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for your love, your grace, and your forgiveness. Today I ask that you come into my heart. I believe that you are my Lord and my Savior. From now on, I live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's say a big amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from our series, Win My Sales. If you'd like to know more about Celebration Church or like to partner with us financially, go to celebrationedmonton.com. You can follow along with everything going on at Celebration on Instagram and Facebook at Celebration EDM. Come back next week to hear another great message.